Daf Mem Vav. So we got to the last four lines of Mem Hey Amud Beis. The Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah. So we saw in yesterday's Mishnah that we had two different halachas regarding that dough that was stuck in the cracks of the bowl. The first halacha is related to the requirement of beer in terms of the Isser Chametz. And the second halacha related to Tumah, that if a person's makbid on it, it's a chatita. If a person's not makbid on it, then it becomes part of the bowl and it's not a chatita. So the Gemara points out now in the bottom of Mem Hey Amud Beis, V'chein Le'inyan Tumah, so that's just a quotation from the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Mi dami, can you compare the two halachas of the Isser Chametz to the din of Tumah? Hasam bishiura talya milsa hacha bikpeda talya milsa." When it came to the dough that was stuck in the cracks of the bowl, the gabi chametz, that was based on the shear, the size of a kazayis or pachas mikazayis. But with respect to the halacha of Tumah, it had to do with kpeda, not peda. That's not a v'chein, that's not a sotu, that's not an equation of two halachas. They're similar in that regarding, that they're talking about dough stuck in the bowl, but one has to do with the shear, one has to do with the kpeda. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, ma'ema, u'le'inyin ha'tumah, enokin. The Mishnah should really read as, with respect to Tumah, the halacha is not the same. Meaning with respect to Tumah, it doesn't depend on shear, rather it depends on kpeda. So Gemara says, Amar le'abai, bai says, v'ha, we mentioned this in the past, that oftentimes Abai always says he chooses text over logic. In the end of the day, the text in the Mishnah is v'chein. You can't just change the text because it makes more sense. It says v'chein. We have to embrace the text. So how do we reconcile this with the text of the Mishnah, which says v'chein le'inan tumah katani? So Ella Amar Abai says hachi kamar. The way the Mishnah should read is as follows. We're going to have three different approaches until we finally have a satisfying approach to the Mishnah. But it should read v'chein, going on to daf membav, today's daf. V'chein le'inan tzirif tumah b'pesach u'b'shari mos hashana ika plugsa. With respect to the tzirif of combining the shear, so then on Pesach, it depends on the shear kazayas, but the rest of the year, it's a plugsa, not a machlokas. Plugsa means it's a chilek. Then it depends on kpeda and akpeda. So meaning normally, regarding tumah, it depends on kpeda. But when it comes to hilchas, when it comes to tumah, on Pesach in particular, we'll see why in just a second, it doesn't depend on kpeda, it depends on the shear. So, I mean, the way the Mishnah reads is, with respect to chametz, so it's based on shear. V'chein le'inyan tumah on Pesach also has to do with the shear, but shari mos hashana, the rest of the year, it depends on kpeda and not kpeda. What does that mean? So, Gemara explains two lines down here. Hechi dami, what's the scenario that the Mishnah is talking about now? Kagon di'ika pachos mikabeta ochlin, v'nagu b'hai batzek, b'pesach, di suri chashiv mitstarif. So normally the way it works is for food to be metame has to be a size of a kibetza. So now what happens here is that ochlin, you have less than a kibetza of food. Now that less than a kibetza of food is touching chametz. Now that chametz and the other food combine to less than the shear of kazayis, it's less than the shear of kibetza rather, does not normally metame towards ochlin. But since it's talking about Pesach and chametz of the size of kazayis is significant, it's an iser, so that gives the whole food now, even though it's less than a kabeitza, but it's considered a davar chashiv and would be metame. So when it comes to, again, hilchos tumah, chametz on Pesach, a sheer kazayis is enough to create tumah. However, shari mos hashana the rest of the year, where sheer kazayis is insignificant, so then it depends on the kabeita, talya milsa. It depends on your kabeita. If you're makbid on that bread, you don't want it to stay as part of the bowl, so then it's metstarif with the bread. If you want to leave the bread as to fill the crack in the bowl, so then you don't care for it as food, you want it to be there, then harehu mitkarev, it's part of the basket and does not combine with the other food to create a shear of a kabeta. That's the first approach of the Gemara. So the Gemara then says, maskila rava. Rava says, mi katani mitstarif, hachotit katani. According to Abaye's suggestion, the whole understanding of the Mishnah has to do with the shear of being mitzari food for hilchos tumah. But the Mishnah doesn't say it has to do with the sugya of tzirif. The Mishnah says with respect to halachos of chatzitza, not with respect to being mitzari shirum to agabe hilchos tumah. So therefore, Rava takes a whole other approach. Rava says, Ella, Amar Rava, v'chein lahalos tara la'reva. What's really referring to is if you want to dip the basket of the bowl became tameh, and you want to put it into the mikvah, so then that's the shaila here. What does that mean? Hey chidami, kagon d'itme hach areva. The basket, the bowl became tameh. Ubay la tabule bepesach, and you want to dip it into the mikvah on Pesach, d'yisuri chashiv chotet. So there, so if you have a kazayis of a dough, that on Pesach, that's significant, that's an Isser Chametz, that's considered Davar Chashuv, and therefore serves as a Chatzitza, V'lo Salkalei Tefillah, and the Tefillah won't be Chal on this bowl. However, the B'Sharim also, Shana, the rest of the year, where Chametz is insignificant, it's not a Davar Isser, not a Davar Chashuv the rest of the year, so then it has nothing to do with the Shear of Kedayis, then it depends on Kepeda, Talia Milsa, depends on your, what bothers you. If you really don't want the dough to be there, then it's a chatzitza. Could you plan to get rid of it? If you want to leave the dough in the cracks, so then it becomes part of the bowl. Harehu kareva, and not a chatzitza, and the tefillah will be a good tefillah. So that's how Rava understands this. But now Rav Papa says, Rava, that too doesn't read nicely in the Mishnah, because maskula Rav Papa, mi katani v'chein linen tara, halinen tumo katani. The way Rava presented this was, will the tire of the mikvah have effect on this bowl? But the Mishnah says, we're talking about raking tumah, not creating tara, but creating tumah. So therefore, a Papa tweaks it for the final suggestion, which sticks, is v'chein linen tara, halinen tumah kadani. Ela amir a Papa v'chein linen lahorid tumah la reva. So the halacha is regarding whether or not tumah will impact, will it affect this basket, will make this basket, will make this bowl tummy. What does that mean? Hey, chidami, what's the case? Could go the nugget sheretz b'hai batik, b'pesach. Now, if this a sheretz, which is tummy, if it touches the bowl is certainly tummy. But here, the sheretz touches the dough that's in the crack of the bowl. So now, if it's b'pesach, d'yisri chashiv, where a kazayis of chametz is considered a davar iser, and therefore a davar chashiv, that's chotetz, it's considered chatita, and if the sheretz touches the dough, that actually serves as a block from being matami the bowl. It's not part of the bowl. The dough might become tame, but it's not going to go ahead and be matami the bowl. We view them as two different entities because it's a chatita. You're supposed to get rid of the kazayis of the dough. V'lo nachta l'tuma, it's not going to allow the tuma to transfer from the sheretz to the bowl. However, shari mos hashana, where there's no iser chametz, so then it depends on bikpeda talia milsa. In makbid, a person's makbid on the dough that's there, meaning he wants to ultimately get rid of the dough that's stuck in the cracks, then it's a chatita and chotet, and it will block the sheretz from being matame the bowl. In rotza bekuma, if however he wants to and plans to leave the dough in the cracks to make it as part of the bowl itself, it's not a chatita, harehu kareva, and if the sheretz touches the dough in the crack, it's as if he touches the actual bowl, but a bowl, and it will make the entire bowl tame. Okay. The new Mishnah now tells us about different halachas of chametz. The Mishnah says chametz, a batek hacheresh rather, a batek that literally means a deaf dough. So read the Mishnah, read Rashi what that means in a second. Batek hacheresh im yesh kayote bo shehichmetz harei ze aser. If there's something like this, that would be a similar process in the stage of the leavening process, it would be considered chametz. So what does that even mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says batek hacheresh, around 10 narrow lines up. Batek hacheresh shein nicker im hechmetz im lav. You have a dough, and you can't recognize whether or not it's chametz or not chametz. You have no idea. Sheha meshuna hu kecheresh. It's like a cheresh hazer. Sheyesh lo oznayim veino nicker im shomei im lav. You see a person, he has ears. There's no way for one to recognize whether he's deaf or not deaf. So too, you look at dough, and you have no idea whether this dough is chametz or not chametz. So that's why he calls it batek hacheresh. It's unclear. So how do you assess lemaisa? Do you have to burn this? Could you use it could you eat it during Pesach? So what the Mishnah says is, im yesh kayosi bo shehichmetz harezo aser. If you could compare it to another case, I know this is for sure chametz, and then it looks exactly like this batek cheresh, so by comparison, you could assume that it's chametz. So that's why they didn't. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, im yesh kayosi bo shehichmetz, if you have a similar type of dough that looks the same way, im yesh isha isa, acheres shenilosha b'shaita v'kvar hechmita. If you have a dough that was kneaded at the same time and it turned into chametz, then you should assume this other batek that you don't know for sure yet, you should assume that's chametz as well. And if it has not, if you have no comparison, so seemingly one would have to be machmir if you don't know any better. But if you have a dough that certainly did not become chametz and looks like the batek hacherish, then you could assume it's actually matzah. So Gemara says, im ein sham kiyotzi b'mahu. Let's say you don't have anything to compare to. I needed just one dough, so I can't compare two different cases. So I'm stuck with this matzah, or maybe it's chametz. So what do I do with it? So Amar Rabbi Abohu, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Kadei Sheyelach Adam, Mi Migdal Nunya, the Tiveria Mill. So if a person's needing it for the time it takes for a person to walk from the city of Migdal Nunya, or a tower of Nunya, to the city of Tiveria, which amounts to a mill, which could be 18 minutes, 24 minutes, whatever exactly that shear is, so then that's going to dictate whether this is chametz or not chametz. It was needed for that long. So Gemara says, "V'nei mamil." Why did it tell us mimigdal nunya l'tiveria? Just tell us a mil. So why be complicated at point A to point B? So Gemara says, "Hakamash malan the shiur de mil can mimigdal nunya about tiveria." If a person didn't know, right, you can't really describe a mil. You know, how do you tell an inch? You can't write an inch, a tevach, an amma. How do you describe it in words? You have to show a tape measure to show what it means. So they chose two different cities. That person could go ahead and measure the distance or the time it takes them to walk from point A to point B. And that's the definition of mil. So either way, that's a mil. And that's the amount of time if it was needed for that period of 18 to 24 minutes. This is this is why if 18-minute matzahs, based on the sugi here, the whole process must be done within 18 minutes. If you have, they could have several rounds of baking matzah within 18 minutes. But once your flour that touches water, 18 minutes comes, they stop the bakering, they shut everything down, they clean it out, they kosher everything, and they start all over again based on this particular sugya. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abo, Amar Rabbi Shimon Malakash, Legabel Ulatfila Ulatias Yadaim Arba Milim. Now that we've described the certain shear of halacha, so now we're talking about not 1 mil, but 4 mil. 4 mil is a shear necessary for the application of Legabel, Latfila, Ulatias Yadaim. What does that mean? So Rashi says, first, medium wide line down, legabel, is hamagabel isas acherim bischar. So a person, let's say, he's a professional kneader. So he kneads dough for someone. And he gets paid for this. Ukli bal habayis tamem. Now the utensils he's using, he goes to the guy's house, and he's kneading the dough. That's what he does. He's so good at kneading it. And ad arba milen, hitrichu hachachamim leilech lemikva litvo kalef. So unclear exactly what the scenario is. It's referring to that a person, according to many of Rishonim, a guy who's makbid to eat chulun batara. Even though chulun does not have to be batara, he's makbid to eat his chulun batara. Unclear whether it's referring to the baal bayis, the owner of the dough, or it's referring to the megabel, the professional kneader, who's makbid on eating chulun batara. Whoever it is, however, the shir is that a person, the megabel, if it's a mikvah, it was within 4 mil, he has to go 4 mil to go to the mikvah to bring the kelim there. If the closest mikvah is beyond 4 mil, let's call it 72 minutes away, so then he has no requirement to be matbil the kelim. That's one halacha. Second halacha says Rashi further. V'chein l'tfila, so too with respect to tfila, emet mahalich adam ebederach, a person's traveling, uba eish lalun ulispal, it's time to go to sleep, time to daven, im yesh beis knesses lefana birachak arba milin, if there's a shul, 4 mil ahead of him, holich mispal sham bilan sham, he should go ahead, push himself a little bit further to get to daven in the shul. Some say, why daven in the shul? Some because daven in the shul is a better place to daven. Others say because to catch the minin in the shul. So the big nafkamina, if you have a shul but there's no minin, should a person go ahead and schlep to at least daven the shul? Or only if you're going to catch a minin, is it worthwhile? But either way, a person should schlep 4 mil ahead if it's along the way of his travels to catch the minin. If it's more than 4 mils, he does not need to schlep further, and he could sleep wherever he's sleeping without a minin or without a shul. V'chein, says Rashi, when a person needs to wash his hands before eating bread, if he knows it's going to be some spring, some well, 4 mil ahead, so then he should go the distance further. But if, however, it's going to be beyond 4 mil ahead, he has no requirement to do so, and he could eat the bread without washing his hands, but he should cover it, not hold the bread with his hands, put gloves on or something, or wrap it with a handkerchief and eat that way. If you look at Tosas in the top says that... do the second Tosas. He says, "Latfila near kaperish bekundris v'lo ka'aruch the perish latfila haynu lerechot yadav lispalo." The Aruch thinks, although Rashi said it has to do with catching a minion or going to shul, the Aruch felt it was referring to washing hands prior to davening. Tosas doesn't think that's the case because there are other ways to clean your hands. It's not that essential to wash hands for davening. You could just clean them on your jacket, on your pants, on the wall, on something hard, something rough. That's sufficient for Hilchos Tefillah if no water is around. So he felt it hard to understand that to go 4 mil extra ahead just to wash hands for davening, that doesn't seem to be the case. And therefore, he preferred Rashi's pshat of 4 mil ahead to catch either a minion or to daven in a shul. Gemara now continues and says, Amr of Nachman bar Yitzchak, Aivo Amra. Aivo was one of Arba. He said there are actually 4 cases that you need to go Arba Mil. Legabel Latvila, Latias Adayim, we already said. What's the fourth one that Arba Mil is a relevant shear? So Amr Ba, he says, V'chad minayu Ibud. One comes to Ibud. Ibud is treating leather, stepping on leather, salting leather, perhaps different ways to treat the leather. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us that Chulan, Shibdan o shehilach behen kedevoda tahorin. The leather is normally tame. When you take a leather from an animal, it's tame, like the animal itself could be tame. But if you treat it to a certain point where it changes its form, so then it actually would become tahor. So if you just look at Rashi says, "Mai hi ivud Rashi says, "Shir ibud shel or rach hametame kibasar." Because the leather, when leather and skin is as soft like meat itself, it's tamei kigon hanach dechashiba ho'orve rotev. Ho'orve rotev is a parak in Maseches Chulin. It says the different types of leathers that qualify as part of basar itself, and therefore be tamei like the animal itself. So the Mishnah again says, "V'kulin she'ivdu or she'hilach behen kadeavoda." If you process, if you treated the leather, they become tahor. They're no longer considered meat, no longer considered flesh and basar. They're now hard and no longer tamei chutzmi or ha'adam, except for the skin of a human being that always remains tamei even if it's been treated. So now, how makama kadeavoda? How long does one have to treat the leather for to remove it from tuma to tahara? So Amar Rabbi Yanai, Kedei Hilach Arba Milin, the amount of time it takes to work 4 mil, which is around 72 minutes or so, that's the shear, it has to go through that process. Anything less, it would still be considered kibasar and would become a tamik. So Amar, so that was, those are the four halachas of Arba Milin. So Gemara says now, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Lo Shanu Ela Lefanov. This is all true with respect to traveling ahead. As long as any of the mikvah or the shul is 4 mil, on the same path that you're walking. Aval, la'achrav, afilu mil einu chozer. But to have to go backwards to catch a minion, to go back there backwards to go to mikvah or to wash your hands, you don't go back, even a mil, you don't go back. So amr of acha, mine, mil, who, from it we could infer, mine, mil, who, de einu chozer, you don't go back a mil, but pachas mi mil chozer, one would go back. So to go 18 minutes backwards, out of your way, that one doesn't have to do. But if you have to go 17 minutes, so then one should go back to catch the minyan or to go to the mikvah or to wash the hands. So Gemara now says a new Mishnah, completely different topic now. The Mishnah says, "Keitan mafrishin chala b'tumah b'yantif." How does one be mafrish chala in tumah and yantif? What does that mean? What's the challenge here? So we need to look at Rashi to talk about all the different possible scenarios to understand how the Mishnah is going to answer this this challenge here. So look at the mission of five, the Rashi rather, five lines up from the bottom here. Keitan mafrishin chala batuma. Shinit meis ha'isa. You have dough. So normally when you have dough, you're mafrish chala and you give it to the kohen. Now here, the problem is the dough became tameh before you're mafrish chala. So now your dough is tameh. So there's no problem for you to eat tameh dough. But shuv ein chala hanitelas mimena ruya l'achias kohen. Now if you're mafrish chala, you're mafrish chala that's tameh. A kohen cannot eat chala that's tameh. Keitan mafrishin also b'yam tov shel pesach. How do you separate it? Hare ein yichol lafoso me'achar shein ruya lachila. Since this dough, that's challah dough, you can't give it to the kohen, he can't eat it, so then you can't bake that, which is not edible. You can't bake things if you're not going to eat it. So since this can't be eaten, so you can't bake it. Ula shoso l'sarfo l'ari v'yefshar. To now, let's say what you should do is, don't bake the challah dough, just separate the challah, and then just leave it out there. And you burn it later. But that's impossible as well, shelo tachmit, because now if you leave the dough out, it's going to turn to chametz, right? Why would you bake it? You bake it because you bake it so it doesn't turn to chametz. You make it into matzah. That's number one. That's why you want to bake it to matzah, so it doesn't turn to chametz. But you can't bake it because you can't bake that which won't be eaten. So baking is an option. Okay, so leave the dough out. Leave the dough, let it sit. But if you leave it, let it sit and try to burn it after yontif is over, by that time it's going to rise, it's going to turn to chametz. So that's not possible either. Ulasorfo, now maybe what you should do is separate the challah right away and then burn it. Burn it right there on Yantif. But you can't burn it. Ola hachila klavim, or feed it to your dogs, Yefshar. Shein sorfen kachim yantif. You can't burn kachim yantif. Now, even though giving to a dog isn't called burning, but you can't get rid of any type of kachim or chuma on Yantif. So again, the three possible options right now is either bake it so it doesn't turn to chametz, or to just let it sit, or to burn it. So either of those options aren't good. Just to review again, you can't bake it because since the kohen can't eat it, you can't bake that which is not ready l'achila. You can't let it sit there and do nothing because it's going to turn to chametz. And you can't burn it, give it to dogs, because ein sorfen kachim b'yantif. So what do you do with a dough that's tameh, and I need to mafrish challah from this? So the Gemara, the Mishnah says as follows. There are two different answers. Machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lo tikra l'shem at shetofa, don't call it challah until you bake it. Just bake the dough as is. And after you've baked the dough, so now you're mafrish challah. That's okay, because any part of the dough is potentially going to be non-challah, and therefore will be acceptable. So why don't you do that? And that will be a very fine suggestion. Ben b'seira omer, tita b'tzonin. No. What you actually could do is, you could separate the dough, or the whole dough, and you could put it into cold water. You put it into cold water, that's going to stop the process, actually, of it turning into chametz. This interesting halacha, Ramosha was raised the question, Could a person put dough into the freezer? Would that have the same effect as what the Mishnah says here, putting into cold water? Ramosha says he doesn't know for sure, but all we know from the Mishnah of Ben Becerra is putting into cold water. The freezer has no cold water to it. So this might only be effective if there's actual cold water there, but just sama freezer won't necessarily work for preventing the chametz from happening. He says we have a similar case when it came to meat. The meat, when a meat is shechted, you have to salt it right away. Could a person take the meat after you shecht it, put it in the freezer and wait a long time until you want to actually salt it? Does that stop the process of moving anything? Because once you wait too long to salt meat, the blood gets embedded, it's impossible to get out. It needs to be done right away. So does freezing stop the process? And he says most poskim say freezing does not stop the process. He felt here as well, by dough, freezing does not necessarily stop the process, and therefore this only is true, according to Ben Becerra, of cold water, but not being put in the freezer. But that's the suggestion of Ben Becerra. Put in the cold water, that's going to stop the process of chametz. Comes along now Amr Bishua. Bishua says, going on to Amr Beis, he says, Lo zehu chametz shemuzharin alav b'bayi rabbi b'bayi matzeh. This is not a concern of b'bayi rabbi matzeh. Do whatever you want with it. Why not? Because remember, from the beginning of the Masechta, it says, Shelcha yataroa aval ataroa shelachayim v'shel hektish. Challah is not mine. It's someone else's. It's the Kohen's. It's a davar hektish to a certain extent. And therefore, it's not subject to the isra of a bayir abayimatzei. What a person should do, says Rabbi Yeshua, is ela mafrishasa u'menichasa ad ha'erev imhechmita hechmita. Separate it and let it sit. You plan to burn it after the Yom Tov is over. Ah, it turns into chametz. Big deal. It's not my chametz. Shelcha yataro about taro achem. You can't see your own chametz, but this you don't actually own. And you would let a person leave it out to sit and turn to chametz. So these are three different suggestions. Again, just to recap before you go ahead, according to Rabbi Elazar, it says, don't call chametz until you bake it. Just bake it as a full dough, then afterwards separate challah. Then Maseret says, put it in cold water. That stops the leavening process. And the third pshat is Rabbi Yeshua, who says, let it turn to chametz. It's not your responsibility. So Gemara. Yeah, so it gets complicated. They don't discuss here. I'm not sure they discuss later on how to do fresh challah on Yontif. It's not so pasha how to do it. I'll just say outside halach l'maisa, in Eretz Yisrael, it's a person that forgets to take challah. A woman does a challah, she forgets to take challah. It's very hard to know how to figure that out. But in Chutzar, it's very easy. Chutzar, it's a way one is mafresh challah on Shabbos, if they forgot to do so, is you could eat the challah, and whatever's left over after the fact, that can be challah. You don't have to be mafresh initially. You can leave over shirai, and that becomes challah and chutz la'aretz. And Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't work that way. It's a little bit more complicated. I forget how they do this, but halacha ma'aseh, there's some way to be mafresh. I think Rashi in the bottom might explain how to do this. If you look at Rashi, go back to Amud Aleph just for a second, Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Rashi says, ad shetofa, tchila, first bake it, and then dakati kol chad v'chad v'chazilei, each loaf of bread is fit to be the challah. The mifarish b'kol chad purta, you separate from each one, mafresh rather, b'kol chad purta, take off for each dough a little bit of challah. Ulach harfia, imratza yafish challah shleima akulon. If you wanted, you could actually take off a whole loaf, use a whole loaf as a farshish challah, k'detan b'gemara, the k'sar rebel azar, hasal shiro d'min al-taner, l'tocha m'sar for l'tachallah. So I think the gemara is going to address it later on. I don't know which daf, but I think memches, we're going to go through how one actually does this on Yontif or Shabbos. Exactly, right. Exactly. Okay. So now the Gemara says as follows. Gemara says, Lema betovas hana kemithli. That suggests the machlokas in the Mishnah is whether or not tovas hana is a hana. What's tovas hana? Tovas hana is when you are mafish truma or challah, I have the right to give it to whoever I want to. I can give it to my friend, the Kohen. I can give it to my neighbor, my family, a relative who's a Kohen. I have the right to do so. Is that called hana? Is that called is that a monetary value, the right to choose who to give this to? That's the machlokas. How is that the machlokas? So the Gemara says, Lema again, but Tovas Hana kemithli. They're arguing about whether or not Tovas Hana is called Mamon. The Rabbi Eliezer Savar Tovas Hana is Mamon. Rabbi Shua Savar Tovas Hana eino Mamon. In other words, do you own this or not? According to, remember, Rabbi Shua says, I can leave the challah out. It's not mine. What do you mean it's not mine? I granted I can't eat the challah. I could choose who to give it to. Isn't that mine? No, that's not called Mamon. That's not Mamon. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's called mamon. Me having the right to give whoever I want, whichever coin, that's called a monetary value, and therefore it's considered shelcha, yours, and that's why you can't let it sit out. That's the machlokas between Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Elazar, whether or not you're allowed to let the challah go out and sit. Just look at Rashi to make this a little bit clearer. Rashi writes here, actually running out of time here, so maybe I'll skip the Rashi. Rashi just talks to this out a little bit more about how Tovas Hanah is considered Mammon or not Mammon. So the Gemara now says, lo, not true. That is not the way to assess this Machlokas. The Chuli Alma, Savri, Tovas Hanah, Eino Mammon. Everybody agrees. Just because one has the right and ability to choose which coin to whom to give it to, that's not called Mammon. So if it's not Mammon, why does Rabbi Yehuda say you have to get rid of it? You can't let it just sit and rise. Hacha b'hoyel kimithli. They're arguing about the concept of hoyel. What's hoyel? So hoyel is a concept of since. It's like a next step. So hol the ibay is ashulei ala mimonahu. If a person wanted, he could go to a chacham. The chacham could undo the challah. You can undo the challah. This actually happens. Let's say Erev Shabbos, a woman does mafresh challah, and then she loses the challah. She doesn't know where it is. She forgot, is it this piece, is it that piece? Now there's a challah me'urav in her dough. So what do you do in this case? You could actually go to a bezin, and you could, like Hatar Saddam, you could undo the nether of being mafresh challah. So here as well, a person could undo the challah, and now it goes back to being theirs. So as long as you didn't give it to the kohen yet, you still have that possibility. So says Rabbi Eliezer, Savar Amrina Naho, we say Hoyol, Ibai Itzashule Allah Mimonahu, since if I wanted, I could undo my Hafrash Challah, it's still considered mine, there's some strings attached, it's a Mammon, that's why you can't just let it rise. But Rabbi Yeshua Savar Lo Amrina Hoyol, we don't say Hoyol, and therefore, since right now it's Challah, it's not mine, and we don't try to look a step ahead, and we don't say Hoyol. That's the Machlokas here. So now the Gemara is going to use this as a springboard to discuss another case, a more common case of Hoyol. What's that case? So Gemara says, Itmar, ha'ofe me'yamtif l'chol, person cooks from yamtif for the weekday. So the din is, Rav Chista amar loka, Rav amar ain't a loka. Rav Chista says, one gets malchus for doing so. You're not allowed to cook from yamtif to chol. And Rabba says, no, there are no malchus. So before you explain the malchus, the Baal Mor points out, everybody agrees it's asr l'chadchila to cook from yamtif to chol. There's no questioning that. There's just a debate whether or not that will warrant malchus or not warrant malchus. So Gemara explains, what's the machlokas, whether you get malchus or not, cooking from yantif to chol? Rav Chista Amar, loke, one gets malchus. Lo amrin, let's say actually in the positive first. I'll say this outside before reading the negative. There's a possibility, if I'm cooking on yantif, maybe guests will come. Maybe neighbors will come. So even though I don't know that they're coming, hol, they might come. So that already gives me a heter to cook and won't result in malchus. Rav Chista Amar, loke, you get malchus. We don't say such a hol. He says, lo amrinan, we don't say, since guests might come, therefore my cooking has a certain purpose. We don't say that. And therefore, since we don't say hoyol, one gets malchus for cooking for yantif to chol. Rabba Amar, ein aloka, we do not get malchus for doing this. Amrina hol, he's comfortable applying the hoyol, that since there's a possibility that guests might come, therefore he does not get malchus. The Ash from the Rice of Yosef Engel points out, Machlokas within Rabba and Rav Chista is dependent on whether or not we view this Maisa as a Maisa be the Avera as a Maisa be Adayim or be Machshava. In other words, the guy's Machshava was clearly to cook for Chol, and therefore that's why it should be Aser because that's his Machshava. But according to the other opinion, that according to Rabba says there are no Malkos, but Lemaisa he made a food that is Roi for Orchim, so he felt that this is Rav Yosef Engel like to like take a Chakira and apply it to, like every Machlokas in Shas. So he found that this machlokus was about Maisa versus Machshava. It's about Machshava, the guy did something wrong. But if it's about Maisa, what he did in terms of cooking has makes sense, and therefore it would be acceptable and not result in malchus. Either way, the nekudas machlokus between Rabba and Rav Chista is whether or not one would say hoel. Now, this is a different hoel than before. The hoel before was a hoel agabe being matir, the ned of challah. Here's a hoel regarding whether or not you can anticipate guests coming or not coming. So there's a very interesting toast in the bottom here before we go weiter. The very last line up Tosfos, the last two lines, the im is the second, the last word in the second to last line, vim tomar, I amrinan hoyol, if we really accept this concept of hoyol, that guests might come, im kein batla kom lacha Shabbos, hover roi the chol sheish po sakana. Right? Any malacha can be done on Shabbos if there's a chol sheish po sakana. So shouldn't that be a hoyol? If you could cook on Yantif to Chol, because guests might come, so you should be able to cook on Shabbos, you should be able to, I don't know, cut off apples on from a tree, because it might be a Chol Sheish B'Sakana. Isn't that Hoyo? So what Tosa answers, he says, V'yeh Shlomar came into lo Shchiach Klal lo Amin Hoyo. That's not common. To have a guest over, that's a common occurrence. But to have a Chol Sheish B'Sakana, that's very uncommon, and therefore, Tosa felt that would not be acceptable, otherwise that would, of course, undermine all of Hilchot Shabbos. There are a number of other answers that found in the Achron why this wouldn't necessarily apply. One example is that the Stipler explained that part, not the Stipler, this is Akiyas Yaakov, the Chavos Das, rather. The Chavos Das explains that for Chol to work, that when it comes to doing a Melachah Yantif, has to be something that's a certain tzarech to you as well. You have to have a certain tzarech. So when I cook something, a guest come over, there's a certain tzarech for the guest to come. There's a certain hana that I get from this. When there's a person who's a chol sheyesh bo sakana, pikuach nefesh, there's a great need for that, but there's no tzarech for me at all. Nothing I'm gaining out of this. To save the guy's life is a wonderful thing, no question about it, but there's no tzarech ktsas. And based on that, he didn't think the hetter v'ochon nefesh would apply. But the simple, I think the simplest understanding is, Tosos, that's simply not shchiach, and since it's not shchiach, you can create any hole otherwise. The hole has to be something that's reasonable and common, and therefore that hole doesn't work. But l'gabe hole, ikloi le'orchim, chazilei, therefore Rabbah felt that there is no malkos, or Rav Chisda thought there are. So Gemara now says, Amr le Rabbah, Rav Chisda, lididach, according to you, damis lo min hoil, you can apply hoil. So then, Heyach Ofen Miyamtiv, the Shabbos, we know that when a Yantif is Friday, you can cook from Friday to Shabbos. How are you allowed to do that? It's a violation of Isser Deraisa, of Malkos. Amalei, Mishim Eruve Tavshilim. Erev Tavshilim, right, that we know that Erev Tavshilim. You started the cooking process on before Yantif, and that continues on Yantif itself. So Amalei, Mishim Eruv Tavshilim, Sharina Isser Deraisa. What does that mean? According to Rav Chisda, to cook from Yantif to after Yantif is an Issa Deraisa. It results in Malkos. So Erev Tavshilin, which is a Din Derabanan, that could prevent an Issa Deraisa. How does that work? Amr Lei, Mideraisa Tzarche Shabbos Nasim B'Yantif. The truth is, you're right. To cook from Yantif to Chol, that's an Issa Deraisa. To cook from Yantif to Shabbos, that's actually Mutter on a Deraisa level. The Chachamim were the ones who asked it. Rabbanan, who the Gozibe, their Gozer, don't cook from Yantif to Shabbos, Shema Yomim Ofen Miyamtif Aflachol. A person might say, oh, if I could cook from a Yantif to a Shabbos, maybe I could cook from a Yantif to Chol, which is wrong. They made a Gzera, don't cook even from Yantif to Shabbos. But since it's only a Gzera, Kevin Das Ruchai Rabbanan Aruf Tavshilin, Isle HaKerev. So they said, what's the heter to cook from Yantif to Shabbos with the Erev Tavshilin? So since the Isser to cook from Yantif to Shabbos is only Derabanan, the Erev Tavshilin Derabanan could undo the Isser Derabanan. That was part of the creation of Erev Tavshilin and the Gzera from Yantif to Shabbos. But Yantif to Chol, Ein Echanami, that's an Isser Deraisa, and that would result in Malkos, at least according to Rav Chisda, because he does not hold of a Hoyo. Gemara asks another question, we'll finish with this. Eisive Behema Hamistukanis Lo Yishchot Elakadesh Yachol Le'echol Heimana. You see an animal that's dying. So now if the animal dies, it's a nevela. You lost $1,000 of a cow, whatever a cow costs, I have no idea. So now what do you want to do is you want to shecht it, so at least you get to eat the meat from it. So you see it's about to die, you quickly shecht it. Problem is, it's yantif now. So you can shecht and yantif, you're going to eat from the animal. But let's say there's 30 seconds left of yantif. So now the animal's going to die in 10 seconds, you assess. So I shecht it now, it's impossible for me to cook it. I can't get any hana. So I just did a mlacha without getting hana. So the Gemara again says, Behema musukenis, an animal that's dangerously ill, it's about to die. Lo yishchod, you're not allowed to shechter a yantif, ella unless, kedesha yachol lechol heimano kedzais tzli mibod yom. Unless you have enough time to shecht it, to kasher it. Well, the truth is you don't have to salt it. When you roast something, there's no salting for roasting something. When you salt meat, only when you come to bishul. So if you roast something in a barbecue, in a skewer like that, you don't need to actually salt it. You can just roast it directly, the blood just drips out. So as long as there's enough time for you to shecht it, to skin it and take at least a kazayas of the meat and roast it and eat it, so then you're allowed to do this. So yachol lechol avagav dlo boy lemechol. So let's say only that you are able to, but that you don't actually want to. Let's say you're stuffed, you're so full, you just had your huge meal and you have no interest in eating, but you want to save the animal, so you shecht it, but you don't have to actually cook and eat it as long as it's possible, but not that you actually want to. So the Gemara says, Bishma, this makes sense. Lididi, according to me, says Rabbah, Darmina Hol, we hold of Hoyom, the Hol, Ibai Lamechal Matzi Achel. Since if I wanted to in theory, Rabbah doesn't care about the now. He cares about a potential possibility. So since it's a possibility, Ibai Lamechal, if I were to be hungry, Matzi Achel, Mishim Achel Yishchal, that's enough to allow me to shecht. El Didach, according to you, Rav Chisda, Damis lo amrina hol, you don't hold of hoyol in any case, amay yishchot. If you're not hungry, lamaisa, so you can't say, oh, if guests might come, oh, if you might be hungry. There's no if. It's right now. You're not hungry. You shouldn't be able to shecht it. So Amr Lei, Rav Chisda says, which is a fascinating psychological point, Amr Lei, mishum hefsid mamona, because hefsid mamon. You're going to lose money. So mishum hefsid mamon, sharina isu deraisa. There's a concept that for hefsid mamon, you could sometimes violate an isu derbanon. You have to figure out the cases exactly, not just a blanket heter. Well, let's say this machlokis had a paskin in Choshe Mishpat. If it's hefsid mamon, we're makel by isur derbanon. But by an Issa Deraisa, to allow an Issa Deraisa because of Hefsin Mamon, to let a guy Shecht on Shabbos, which is Yantiv, which is normally Malkos, and because Hefsin Mamon is going to lose $1,000 of the cow, he could violate an Issa Deraisa, that's hard to understand. So he says, no. Amrlei, in. Mishim Hefsin Mamona, Gamar Belibo Lechel Kezayis. The guy's going to say, Rav Chista says, listen, the guy's going to lose $1,000. Normally I wouldn't eat, I'm full. But if I'm going to lose $1,000, I'm going to, if someone pays me $1,000, I'll eat this burger. I'll eat the other hot dog just to make the $1,000. So to save myself from losing the $1,000, I'll convince myself to eat a little bit of kazayas of the meat just to save it. The EF Shah, since it's impossible that kazayas possible because of shechita, since I can't have that kazayas of meat that I'm forcing myself to eat, I need the shechita, therefore there's a heter to do shechita. So it's not the hefsid mamon that allows it to the raisa. Hefsid mamon causes me psychologically to want to eat just to save the money, and that would actually work. But it's not because of hoel, it's because of the hefsid mamon that's driving this heter here. This is just to recap quickly. We start off with talking about the discussion of Inan Tumah in Makbil of Lagabe, the dough that's stuck in the cracks. We said the three interpretations of that Gemara. Either it's regarding Tzirf connecting the dough with the other food to be Mitame. We said that doesn't work. Then we said maybe it has to do with being Mitzarif, rather with having the Tfilah Lahalos Mitumah Latara, that the mikvah should work, that shouldn't be Chatzitza. That too didn't make sense. Finally, we said in terms of the Sharetz touching the dough, whether it's Mitame, the Brad basket as well, depends on whether or not it's part of the basket or it's considered a Chatzitza. Then we had the mission of the Batek Cheresh, the dough that was a deaf, which we didn't know whether it's chametz or not, and we said that you have to look at another dough to compare it to it. Then we said that's the shear of 18 minutes. Then we had discussion of four applications of a 4 mil legabel kneading the dough of having to be matbil kalim regarding tefillah, regarding the tisadim of eating, and regarding ibud of treating the leather. And that's only referring to walking forward, but walking back, we said one does not need to go more than a mil backwards. Then the mishnah about being mafresh challah of tuman yantif, we had either a person should bake it first, then be mafresh challah, put it in cold water to stop the process, or a person could let it just go ride because you don't really own it. Then we discussed the machlok is about tovas hanah being mamon or not mamon. Then we said it's really about hoil, whether or not you could undo the challah or not do the challah. And we discussed with regards to that hoil, the whole of a person cooking a yantif for chol, if we say there's a potential that chol guest might come, he does not get malchus, or we don't say chol, and then we apply that in the last case to an animal that's dying, whether you shecht it, whether you say that's based in chol or based in hefsed mamon. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.